Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the podcast. Today is a good day. We have good audio for the first time since the first episode. Sorry about that, by the way. I sort of get stuck in conversation with myself in the car, and I think about, you know, stuff I want to talk about in here a lot, so I sort of just put my AirPods in and just record while I'm there. But today I wanted to talk about sort of how negative coping strategies can affect your progress with your emetophobia. So for me personally, I've had a lot of pretty negative ones, or I've had a few really negative ones. I can list them off now. So I had, one was I like to smoke a lot of weed, or I liked to, and it was very negative for me during most of it. Like the first month was pretty cool, and I would just get high and chill, but it started to get to the point where I relied on it to calm me down, and then it stopped calming me down so much and started making me the opposite. It made me more anxious, and it eventually started making me have major panic attacks every night. And it got to the point where I did that like every night for like months, and I found out in therapy that it was sort of like a self-soothing thing to like intentionally give myself a panic attack, so the next day I would be calm and I'd had no more anxiety in me to give, so I wouldn't be anxious. I'd be out of function until the end of the night where I had all the stress again, and then I needed to do it again, whatever. That was a hard one to sort of stop, because I did find a lot of enjoyment in it at the same time as feeling a lot of fear and a lot of anxiety when I did it. Basically, as soon as I did it, I'd almost automatically go into like fight or flight. I did that with alcohol too. Not as intense, but same sort of deal. Also had a problem with motion sickness tablets. I used to basically abuse those all the time. And I sort of realized recently that I was in a cycle with those three main ones for a few years. I would have this thing where it would get bad, my emetophobia would get bad, and I would go directly back to these things. It would mask my anxiety and make me feel better for a little bit, and then I eventually, like, I would forget about the emetophobia being so intense, and I would just be able to move on and live my life for another 6 months, and then it would happen again. But this time, once this one started, I sort of realized, like, I don't want to do those things. I don't want to default back to that and do the same thing and then have this happen again. I want to make new coping strategies for myself, healthier ones that make me a better me and give me the opportunity to actually heal and live a fulfilling life. But the way these things affected me was that they would basically just mask what I felt. So they would give me another problem to worry about. So when I would smoke weed and have a panic attack, that panic attack wasn't about emetophobia, it was about being too high. And I would fucking freak out for a few hours every night and be like, shit, I just don't want to be high anymore. I want to be fine. Have a panic attack, chill out, and I'd be good. But it also got me so used to having a panic attack that I can't enjoy that anymore. I know a lot of people like to smoke weed. I don't so much, not anymore. It's not something I'll go back to, but I'm not going to judge anyone for that. Moderation, if you can do it like that, then that's fucking awesome. Go you. But I can't. It's the same with alcohol too. I just can't do that anymore, which is fine. I don't care. I'm not a big drinker. I never was. So like, not unless it was like a coping strategy thing, a bad coping strategy, mind you. And not only did it make my anxiety worse, just throughout anything, if I didn't have these things, I'd feel worse. If I did have them, I'd feel worse. It made me really hard to be around. It made me really irritable, really goofy, really just boring, you know? Like, I didn't want to do anything after that because I was so exhausted. I'd have my panic attack, you know, my weed-induced panic attack, and then I'd want to go out and do things, but then I'm like, I'm so tired now, I can't. And my friends would be like, what the hell? You know, it's like 5 o'clock in the afternoon. What the hell are you doing? So there was a lot of problems that sort of came from doing that. And it just made it really hard to live my life in general. Even if I wasn't suffering with emetophobia problems, I realized I didn't stop. So it became sort of an addiction after that, which is a whole nother thing. But we're just going to focus on the coping strategy part. So yeah, basically just had to stop that. Had to cut that out. And I can't go back to doing that because I don't want to repeat this cycle anymore. And the motion sickness tablets, same thing. I relied on those really heavily because they made me feel... They basically made me just really tired, really drowsy. I couldn't drive properly. You're not supposed to drive when you take things like that. So it made it hard to just go anywhere. I didn't want to walk anywhere or do anything. I didn't want to go to the gym. I didn't want to do anything. So like, it basically made me into a zombie. And it almost, at the start, it felt better than the anxiety I felt. I was like, I would rather feel like this than that anxiety. But now I'm like, I would much rather feel that anxiety. You know, it's as bad as like the anxiety can be. I would much rather feel that than being like brainless and like just out of it completely. And not only did it cause like emotional problems, there was physical problems. Like I lost a fair amount of weight smoking weed. Like the anti-nausea tablets had this thing where they'd like dry out your mouth and my tongue would like get all split up and it'd just be really gross. And I'm sure it's not good for you to take that many tablets and smoke weed and fucking do all this shit all at the same time. So yeah, basically I had to stop all of that. Made a decision for myself that I need to be better. I need to not do these things. I need to find better strategies. So some of the better things that I found for me, and I know these things work for a lot of people, it's basic shit, it's the gym. Or if not the gym, exercise in general. The gym helped me a lot. Even though it's really hard to go to a gym, especially if you have anxiety and like, especially if you have emetophobia too. But I found that the biggest thing for me to get to the gym wasn't actually getting there. It was being patient and being kind to myself when I couldn't do it. So if I only made it to the car park, I wouldn't immediately just shit all over myself and be like, oh, fuck you, dude. You suck. You're a loser. You can't even go to the gym. And like, look at all these people going in and you can't even do it. Like, I did that a few times and I sort of realized, like, how is this helping me? You know, like, what part of this negativity is actually benefiting me in any way? And it's obviously easier said than done to just be like, oh, be nice to yourself. But like, it is really something I would suggest anyone, like anyone on this planet, to try to just be kinder to yourself when you can't do something that you wanted to do or you can't do something you didn't want to do, you know, and being patient, being like, you know, every time you do something and you come out of your comfort zone and you don't just immediately go, this sucks, this is shit, I don't want to do it. Even if you do it and you go like, oh, this is shit, like that's not a good mindset to have doing something. You're not going to progress anywhere if you're just thinking every single thing that you do is shit, even if you can do it. Like, I know shit sucks. I know working sucks. I know doing stuff sucks sometimes, but you need to be a little more positive about it. As hard as it can be, I know it can be so hard. Like, I cannot stress how hard it can be. I'm so guilty of saying you need to be positive because I'm like the most negative person on this planet, but it really does make a difference. It adds to your progression. It's like a counter. So every time you do something, you progress a small amount. It's so small, but it is a little bit. It's there, you know? You can feel it very slightly. But it's there, I promise. Okay, I promise it's there. And that positivity comes into that. And the patience too is like, it's very important to be patient with anything, with anyone trying to do anything, to trying to learn a new skill. You have to be patient. Like, you wouldn't immediately just yell at someone else for being in the same position as you and feeling the same things as you. So what's the purpose and what is the benefit of doing it to yourself? Obviously, everyone can understand that, but putting that into action and being like, okay, I'm going to try and attempt to not talk to myself like this today. I'm going to be patient with myself and let myself do things at the pace that it needs to be, you know, slow and steady. Can't just rush into shit, you know? And going for walks was a big one for me. I'm more of a bike rider now, but it's sort of the same thing. Just being outside in general is really good for you. Feeling the wind, like looking at the trees, getting sunlight, it's very important. And going for a walk or a ride was just like, it gave me a goal. You know, like I'd get to this destination, come back home sort of thing. But even just sitting outside is like really good for you. It's like a really mindful thing to do, to like connect with outside. Sort of sounds like a little like hippie, I guess, but it works wonders for me, and I'm sure like a lot of other people would probably appreciate doing that as well. It's really good for your body. Like, your body will thank you if you go outside and breathe fresh air. Another thing I like to do is keep a journal. I've been writing in a journal for about 2 years now, and looking back on it, I notice the better I'm feeling, the less I will write. But it's something I've tried to sort of stop. I initially started writing in a journal not for my own benefit and mental health, is because my handwriting sucks, and like I wanted to not write like a fucking grade 2 student, because my handwriting's been the same since then. And I realized over time that it was a really helpful thing, maybe not for the present. It helps me get my feelings out, definitely. Especially if I'm having a really bad day, a really hard day, I like to write down what I feel. It might not always be positive. Not everything can always be positive. It definitely helps in the long run to look back and see your progression. Even if you feel like you're in a state worse than you were when you wrote that initially, it's good to look back and be like, I can feel good. Why can't I feel good again? You can. You know, you have proof of that because you wrote that in your fucking journal. You definitely can feel. You can feel better than that. You know, like that's something I really like to keep. Like, I have a drawer full of books that I've written in. I tend to do it every day now. I just like to write what I've done. I have a page, like a section of the book I write in where my wins are. So I will write, for instance, I went to work today and it was a good day. It sounds a bit childish, whatever, I don't know. That's what I write because I just, it's fucking easy. And I can look back on that and I write the date and I write any other wins I have for that day as well. I went to the supermarket. We went on a date together, me and my partner, whatever. Like, I took my dog for a walk. It's another thing to look back on, you know, like in a couple months you will see a day where like it was a really hard day. Like the win for you was I got out of bed. That's a massive fucking win if you did that and you didn't feel like you could, dude. Go you. You should be proud of yourself. Another thing I like to do to cope, it's more of a productive thing, but it definitely is like a coping strategy for me, is being, productive. As soon as I get out of my bed, I like to make my bed. I feel it's like a good strategy because even if I have the worst fucking day possible, even if everything feels like it goes wrong, I have a made bed to come back to. It's a bit hard when you have a partner, especially if you have different work schedules because she'll mess the bed up, but it is what it is, you know. Like, either way, I still have a bed to come back to, and it's partially made or it's fully made, and, like, that's my spot. That's my spot. I like to go. It's my chill spot where I can release all my feelings. I can cry if I want to. I can laugh. I can tell someone about my day. I can call somebody. I can talk to my family, my girlfriend, friends, whatever. I'll tell my dog about it. Doesn't matter, you know? But like, making your bed, making your space where you live a clean, tidy-ish space, if you like having a clean space, it'll definitely help. It'll definitely make you feel better having like a more clean area, like a more clean house, more clean bedroom, whatever, you know. Doing your dishes as soon as you're done with them is another thing I like to do. It just helps me get them out of the way because it's a pain in the ass, and also it makes me feel productive on days where I don't have anything else to do or the day was a hard day, you know. It makes me feel like I've done something, like I've achieved something, you know. So it might sound a bit stupid to do your household chores as a coping strategy, but for me it's something that took me a long time to sort of do, because I would ignore them and I would avoid them and I would just stay in my bed. So for me that's like an interesting like achievement, something I like to do, something I do every day now as a way to cope and a way to deal with my mental health in a more positive way, because it makes me feel good about myself. It allows me to be proud and to feel a sense of achievement, which I think is a good thing. Another big one for me is I like to play a lot of video games, and I find myself often getting very stuck into them, and if I start playing a game in the daytime, I will not stop playing that game. Like, it'll be very hard for me to get off it until I get bored, which doesn't happen very often. So if you like to play games, and even if you don't have a job or you don't go to school, you do whatever, like, I would suggest try to not play games until it's like later on in the day. Like, if you can hold off doing it as soon as you wake up or like halfway through the day, if you can wait till like nighttime, you know, a couple hours before you need to go to bed, or like 6 o'clock or whenever the fuck, I would suggest that. I know it works a lot better for me. I don't always stick to it. You don't always have to stick to that if you like games. I know it's a pretty big thing, so, you know, like, I get it, but like, I know for me personally it helps if I push that aside and I make it something I do later on, so I can do my other shit in the day, like my household chores, or I can take my dog for a walk, or get myself some exercise, cook some food, you know, do some meal prepping, anything, you know. It's sort of like a reward even. And it makes you feel a lot better. At least it makes me feel better about doing it. It doesn't make me feel like I'm wasting time, so. But that'll probably do it for today. I don't really have anything else to say. I think my main point was just try to recognize your poor coping strategies and replace them with better ones. And it'll take a while. It'll be a long road. It was for me, at least. So I know it takes a lot of time, takes a lot of energy, and you may end up feeling a little worse. But as you progress through your journey using these newfound coping mechanisms that are healthier, you will find they are a lot more, like, they're a lot more stable, and you will have a better foundation to sort of sit on. So yeah, basically, sorry for swearing so much. I was feeling a little passionate about this one, so I'll try to not do that next time, but until then, thanks guys, see ya.